the stands of various groups against the Holy Bible. By this, of course, we mean the stand taken by these groups against the King James Version, which we in our naive stupidity refer to as the Holy Bible. That is, that's what's on the cover of the King James Version, and so we accept it. Now, we talk about the stand taken by these groups against the Holy Bible. We're talking about their profession of faith in the plenary, verbally inspired originals while attacking the book by which they were saved and called to preach. The exceptions prove the rule. We realize the modern apostate heretic may call your attention to the fact that his grandfather was saved from an ASB or some blind teacher at a Christian school he used to teach out of it. We know the party line, but we weren't referring to that. We're referring to the fact that every founder of every modern school in America who is doing anything for God along a biblical line was founded by a man who was saved under the preaching or teaching of a King James 1611 authorized version. When we say that, of course, we're referring to the fact that the Philadelphia Church is the only church that kept the Word of God, the Reformation Church, and this is the Protestant version of the English-speaking people, which we refer to as the Holy Bible. I want it understood, therefore, in these tapes we're making, that when we talk about the clear-cut stand taken by these people against the Holy Bible, we are referring to a stand they take against a book which we have and believe and read. I want that understood. The contemporary propaganda put out by the Alexandrian cult is to the effect that only the original verbal plenary manuscripts were inspired, and since nobody can find them and you can't read them and check anything, then anybody's guess is as good as anybody else. Or as Edward Hill says, the purpose of modern scholarship is to attain the maximum level of uncertainty. May I remind the listener that every modernist in the National Council of Churches began by attacking the Bible in his own language. May I remind you of that? There no such thing as a modernist or a liberal in the National Council of Churches that were objected to and was upset about the verbally inspired originals. As a matter of fact, they weren't even around to upset him. Now, if you've read our material and listened to our material on the sources of apostasy, you understand these matters in full. The faculty members at Bob Jones and Tennessee Temple, Hiles Anderson Fowell, will not discuss the sources of apostasy, show pretty well what's going on and the process of going on in those colleges at this present time. That is, behind the founder's back, with his permission, tongue-in-cheek. Realize the founder, of course, must put little notes in the back of letters like Bob Jones III put in the back of the one sent out by Custer to try to improve the situation, but a careful reading of his little notes will reveal that although the university approves of the King James and calls it adequate and reliable and uses it and prefers it, it doesn't believe it. Now, in plain words, the modern fundamentalist is just as double-tongued as the modern neo-orthodox. When the modern neo-orthodox talks about the Word of God, he's never referring to the Bible. And when a modern fundamentalist says the Bible, he's never referring to any Bible you've ever seen. Now, that isn't a misrepresentation of their position. That can be proven in court anytime you're ready or your friends. When the modern fundamentalist says we believe in the authority of the Bible, he's not making a reference to any book you've ever seen. If you don't believe it, sit him down and talk with him. Now, we have available for the Bible believer 100 hours of tapes on these subjects, including the famous 32 hours on the cult correspondence, which is 32 hours of documented evidence from the letters of these men as they've tried to mislead their readers and their students into thinking they believe something they don't believe, and then accusing Brother Ruckman of slandering their position. Now, we've given you documented evidence on the stand taken against the King James Bible by Bob Jones University, and in that cult correspondence, we read you the correspondence of Bob Jones III and Custer and Neal. We read you the stand taken by Tennessee Temple through Dr. Affman of the Bible Department, taken against the King James Version, where these people are worried about believers becoming a cult, when they themselves constitute the most universal and well-known cult known to Bible-believing Christendom, the Alexandrian cult. And in this correspondence we read you, he showed you how the ultimate authority at Bob Jones University is not the Bible, or the Holy Bible, or the original manuscripts, which they don't have, or the King James Version, which they use and prefer. The ultimate authority for all matters of faith and practice at Bob Jones University, according to documented signed letters, Xerox copy, black and white evidence, which we have on the table, is the Jesuit Reims text of the Vatican manuscript published by Westcott and Horton in 1884. And you'll find that admission signed by Custer and Neal, the faculty, and adhered to by Bob Jones, the third, while putting on the subtle P.S. that although this is true, they want the university to be identified with the King James Bible because the King James Bible was identified with fundamentalism. That is, they want to be identified with something they don't believe. That's how all apostasy began, by professing something you didn't believe. So when we talk about source of apostasy, we're not talking about neo-evangelicals and modernists who've reached the end of the track. We're talking about fundamentalists who've got on the track and started the train rolling. The way an apostate begins is by professing to believe something he doesn't believe. He winds up professing to be a Trinitarian when he's a Unitarian. But that's the end of the line. The first of the line never has anything to do with the verbally inspired originals because nobody's ever seen them. So obviously, nobody starts there. All right, now on this tape here, we're talking about the stand taken by Thomas Nelson Incorporated against the Holy Bible. And this has to do with the recent attempt of Thomas Nelson's sons, Box 946, 7th Avenue, South Nashville, Tennessee, zip code 37203. I'm reading from the official stationery sent out by Thomas Nelson Incorporated. This has to do with their attempt to get Bob Jones and John R. Rice and Jack Hiles and Bob Gray and Curtis Hudson and some others involved in another revision of the King James Bible after 45 new translations have been put on the market in the last 70 years. 45 times in 70 years, the money-making book publishers have pretended that the King James Bible needs to be updated. And on the basis of this, they have sold 45 different so-called updated versions. And after 45 updatings, they are still worried about it being updated. Oh, let me tell you something, girls and boys. Some of you Christians have never been outside of the backyard. You better get your eyes open. You better take the position that Paul took when he said, "We're not ignorant of the devil's devices." Can you imagine a man, now listen, just for example, pretend you're not a Christian and that you're just a sane human being. Now, can you imagine this, a man with a book that was written back in Elizabethan times, taking that book and saying that it had to be updated because it was archaic, when that man could walk five blocks and find it updated five times in succession in less than 20 years. Can you imagine a man saying that, looking you right in the face like he thought you were intelligent? And imagine a man trying to tell you that the reason for publishing a Bible in 1979 or 80 or 81 is to free it from the archaic expressions of 1611 when the last 47 revisers professed the same thing. Isn't that something? And then imagine anybody dumb enough to buy the Bible on that recommendation. Imagine that. You don't have to imagine. I have the correspondence right here. Here it is. This is called The Statement of Purpose, the official publication of Thomas Nelson Sons, which reads as follows, quote, "The purpose of this project is to preserve the original intended purity of the King James Version in its communication of God's Word to man." Now, did you get what I read? I'm going to read it again. Now, you understand these fellows are professionals. And when they word a good thing with good speeches and fair words to deceive the hearts of the simple, Romans 16, that wording is always complicated as the philosophy of Fish or Schelling. Watch it carefully. Quote, "The purpose of this project is to preserve." Got it? Any trouble understanding what we've read so far? "The purpose of this project is to preserve the original." Got it? The original what? King James Version? No. The original manuscripts? No. The original text? No. to preserve the original intended purity. Now, did you ever read such a thing in all your life? The purpose of the project by Thomas Nelson is not to preserve the purity of the King James Version, and not to preserve the original purity of the King James Version. It's to preserve the original intended purity. Now, isn't that something? Do you realize that thing was printed in 1977 and put out to Bible-believing fundamentalists as a statement of purpose? Do you realize what I read? If something was intended, it wasn't done. And if it was intended and done, it's still there. The implication is the intention wasn't carried out, and Thomas Nelson is now going to carry it out. I'll finish the quotation. Statement of purpose. Quote, "The purpose of this project is to preserve the original intended purity of the King James Version in its text? No. In its words? No. In its manuscripts? No. In its received text? No. In its translation? No." Then what is it for, boys and girls? Now you must lay hold of these things. This is what is going on in America, and this is how all apostasy starts. By deliberate lying presented as unintentional, accidental wording of a statement of a purpose where the motive is good. What are they going to preserve? Quote, you ready? Here's the bomb. "The reason why Thomas Nelson tried to get Bob Gray and John R. Rice and Jack Iles to alter your King James Bible was, quote, to preserve the original intended purity of the King James Version in its communication of God's Word to man." Did you ever read such a statement of purpose in all your life? You know what they're telling you? They're trying to tell you they have the same purpose in mind the King James translators are, and therefore their communication is going to be as pure as theirs was. Here it comes. Quote, "Insofar as is humanly and textually possible, the intention is to clarify this translation." That wasn't the purpose. The purpose was to preserve its original purity. But by putting intended purity in, you implied it wasn't done. Quote, "Insomuch as is humanly and textually possible, the intention is to clarify this translation by the use of current words and grammar and sentence structure." Why, that was done in 1901, the ASV. It was done in 1884, the RV. It was done in 1946, the RSV. It was done in 1952, the RSV. It was done in 1972, the new RSV. It was done in the New World Translation. It was done in the New English Bible. It was done in Good News for Modern Man. Why, all of those books profess to be clarifications of the King James Version. Every one of them. Why, if you picked up a chart by Theodore Epps, published in the Thompson Chain Reference Bible, in our cassette that I read you on Theodore Epps' clear-cut stand against the Holy Bible, you will find that all the modern Bibles profess to be revisions of the King James Version, clarifying its archaic language. What is the purpose in another one? Quote, "So that the King James Version will speak to the individual reader." Why, girls and boys, the King James Version speaks to us without any updating. We don't have any trouble getting to speak to us. We understand all too clearly what it says. Thomas Nelson. "So that this edition of the King James Version will speak to the individual reader in this final quarter of the 20th century in a clear, simple, and accurate..." You see? If it isn't accurate, make it clear. If it isn't clear, make it accurate. You see the double standard? a manner as the original translator of the King James Version endeavored to speak to their readers. This edition shall not add to, nor take from, nor alter the communication. Oh, you see, it will alter the words because it wasn't intended to preserve the original purity of the words. It was to be to preserve, quote, the original purity, the original intended purity of its communication. So the edition won't add to, nor take from, nor alter the communication. Will it add to the words? Of course. Will it take from the words? Of course. Will it alter the words? Of course. It just won't add to or take from or alter the, quote, communication. That is the position of Barth and Brunner. That's the position of every neo-orthodox apostate in the world. But what the Bible communicates is the Word of God, not what it says. That's the position. So when Nelson tried to sucker John R. Rice and Jack Hiles and Brother Gray and some of these men in on this thing, they presented it to him exactly like Barth and Brunner, any new orthodox would present it. We're going to add to the words, but we're not going to add to the communication. We're going to take from the words, but not take from the communication. And we're going to alter the words, but not alter the communication. Quote, this edition shall not add to nor take from nor alter the communication. That was the intent of the original translators. Tell me something, boys and girls. How do you know what the original translators intended to communicate? You weren't there, and you weren't one of them. Quote, but will simply transfer the late 20th century word forms and use the English language in the meanings that the original translators attempted to convey in their time. How do you know what meaning they attempted to convey after changing their words? You don't. And by altering their words, you're going to change their meanings. So what is the statement of purpose? The statement of purpose of Thomas Nelson and the Sons is that they intend to alter your King James Bible any place they feel like it while professing to keep its purity, because its purity was not pure, but only its intended purity of communication. There is no unsaved liberal in the National Council of Churches that puts it any better than that. We're not saying that Thomas Nelson is an unsaved man, or Franklin Hinn, the project coordinator, is an unsaved man. We're simply saying when it comes to double-tongued flim-flam, these men are the greatest professional con men that ever hit the boards. You know what they're going to do? They're going to change your King James Bible in 5,000 places and tell you that they're doing what the original translators attempted to do but couldn't do because they weren't around now. You know what they've just said in this statement of purpose? They're saying that they are just as pure as the King James translators, and they're going to do what the King James translators intended, because after all, the main thing is not the words at all, it's the communication. They are professing to give you a pure communication. Quote, all participants in this project agree to sign the statement of faith that the Bible alone and the Bible in its entirety, plenary, is present tense, the infallible Word of God, and is present tense, therefore, the inerrant, free from error, inspired, God-breathed scripture in the autographs. Then he lied twice. The autographs aren't available. Now this is work of a professional pitchman. We call these men professional liars because they make their money lying about biblical authority. Every man in the Thomas Nelson coordinating project led by Franklin Hinn had to sign a statement that the Bible is present tense, the infallible Word of God, and is free from error, but is nowhere around. Because the statement he had to sign wound up by saying, it is free from error and infallible in the autographs. How do you know that? Give me one verse of scripture that says the Bible is the infallible Word of God and free from error in the original autographs. I'll give any man $50,000 in 24 hours if he can find me any verse in the Bible that says the original autographs are the Bible. Or the original autographs are the infallible Word of God. Or the original autographs are the free from error and inspired God-breathed scripture. $50,000, help yourself in 24 hours. There isn't one verse of Scripture in any translation in the world that says the Bible is the original autographs. Many of the original autographs were not the Bible because they were written before the Bible was complete. The Bible is a book. The Bible, quote, both Old and New Testaments alone and the Bible in its entirety is present tense the infallible Word of God. You don't even have a copy to read. Then why sign the statement? The Bible is free from error. None of the men who signed this statement have a Bible free from error. None of them have seen a Bible free from error. And the original autographs are not said to be the Bible in any verse anywhere in the Bible. And the verse he quoted for God breathed Scripture was 2 Timothy 3:16, which wasn't a reference to the autographs, according to 2 Timothy 3:15. Now this is the time-honored, age-long pitch of the professional liar who makes his living lying about biblical authority. He is talking about here about a book, quote, the Bible, that is free from error, quote, free from error, that is infallible, quote, the infallible Word of God, which he hasn't had, he's never seen, never read, never taught, never preached, and the only verse of Scripture he has to prove that it ever was comes from a Bible which he thinks is full of errors and is not infallible. Now, this is the standard position of Bob Jones University, Tennessee Temple, Hiles Anderson, Falwell, Arlington, Springfield, San Francisco, Biola, Piedmont, Pillsbury, Dallas, Moody, Fuller, Wheaton, and the next 45. This statement of purpose was put in here to make you think that these fellows getting ready to change your King James Bible again, for the 46th time in less than 70 years, had the right motive for doing it, the purity of communication, which all the liberals profess, and that to prove these men were going to give you a pure job, they all signed a statement that where they said the Bible was a book they'd never seen or ever read. And then used the present tense, is free from error, is the infallible Word of God, and couldn't find one verse of Scripture to justify the document they signed. Now that is the theology of every major fundamental Christian college and university in America, and it is satanic, because it's a triple lie. It's the teaching that it'll be all right to do evil that good may come. It's a teaching the end justify the means, and it's all right to say you believe the Bible's the Word of God, even though you don't have it. It's all right to say the Bible is free from error, although you've never seen it. It's all right to say the Bible's the infallible Word of God, although you can't check it. And it's all right to say the Bible is original autographs when the Bible says nothing of the kind. That's the heresy promoted by John R. Rice, Wilbur Smith, Dr. A.T. Robertson, J. Gresham Macon, Benjamin Warfield, West Garton Hort, Zodiades, Yeager, S.A. Anderson, John R. Rice, and every apostate fundamentalist in America. It is deliberate lying about the authority of the Word of God. And it is done professionally, with purposeful intent, and when the man signed it, he knew, one, he didn't have the autographs. He knew, two, 2 Timothy 3:16 was not a reference to the autographs in the context. He knew he didn't have the Bible. He knew that the Bible he professed to believe in he'd never seen, and he signed the statement saying it is present tense when he knew what he believed was that it was. This is the clear-cut stand taken by Thomas Nelson and the translators of the New King James Bible against the Word of God. Quote, this edition shall not corrupt or diminish the original translation, but shall endeavor to speak in the late 20th century as simply, clearly, and effectively as possible, all within the format of the 1611 version, so that a reader in the pew may follow along with this clarified edition, any reading from the pulpit of the original edition, and not be confused or puzzled. What reader, Doc? A saved reader or an unsaved reader? He didn't say. A reader may follow this clarified edition, while the RV professed to be a clarified edition. The ASV professed to be a clarified edition. The New Scofield Reference Bible professed to be a clarified edition. The RSV professed to be a clarified edition. The Good News for Modern Man professed to be a clarified edition. The New English Translation professed to be a clarified edition. The Berkeley, Moffat, Weymouth, Phillips, Goodspeed professed to be a clarified edition. What is Thomas Nelson doing in 1977 talking about the need for a clarified edition? Unless he's talking about book sales. Now, that is the professional liar in action. One, there's a need for a new translation, which there isn't. Two, they're going to preserve the original purity of the King James, which they're not. So they put in its communication to cover up the devilment. Three, they're not going to add or take two from it or alter it, which they are. But they're put in communication instead of the word, so you'll think they're not going to add to the word, which they're going to. Four, get the translators to sign a lying statement of biblical authority that doesn't have any foundation in any Bible on any table of any man I'm talking to right now. The Bible these fellows quote from is full of errors according to them. The Bible these fellows quote from is not clear and needs to be clarified according to them. The Bible these fellows quote from is not the infallible Word of God according to them, and the Scriptures according to them are not the Scriptures Timothy had, 2 Timothy 3:16, but the original autographs, which he didn't have. This, then, is the work of the professional liar, the man who makes his living over and with and about lying about Bible authority. We have made ourselves very clear about these matters on many occasions. We are not saying these men are personal liars in their personal affairs, nor that they will lie about the virgin birth or about what they think about the King James Bible being beautiful and Elizabethan and rhythmic. We are saying every time one of these men is put on the spot about Bible authority, he will lie like a Persian rug. And that can be proved any time you're ready to play ping pong. The men that signed that statement never saw a copy of the Bible they signed that statement on a day in their life, and they knew it when they signed it. When Bob Jones III put his little old P.S. on the letter sent out by Custer Neal around the country in the King James Bible, he said, "We prefer the King James translation, not the Bible. We use the King James translation, not the Bible. The King James translation is reliable and adequate, not infallible. And we prefer to be associated with it because it's identified with the fundamentalist movement." Not one place did Bob Jones III ever say he believed the King James Bible was the Bible, that it was the Holy Bible, that he believed it, or that any of his faculty members believed it. He just came up on your blind side and smoothed by you just as smooth and slick as greased butter on ice. These fellows are professionals, don't you get that? They don't ever talk plain. It's always double-tongued. I now quote from a letter by Thomas Nelson Incorporated, February the 16th, 1977, signed by the project coordinator of this so-called New King James Bible, with his signature, C. Franklin Hiam, H-I-A-M. To Mr. George Seeley, Detroit, Michigan. Dear Mr. Seeley, quote, "Thank you for your letter of January the 4th regarding the updating of the King James Bible." Updating the King James Bible? Is he trying to be funny? Why, it's been updated 45 times since 1880. What does he mean about a letter updating the King James Bible? The King James Bible has been updated 45 times, man. Why doesn't Thomas Nelson and Sons update the New World Translation? Why don't they update the International Version? It just came off the market. Surely it ought to be archaic. It's only been on the market for 3 years. Surely it must be archaic. I mean, if you had to have 45 translations in 90 years, then obviously every translation is archaic and out of date in 2 years. The International Version has been out for 3 years. Why not update it? Now, you people listen to this tape. Did you ever scratch your head and wonder why they keep updating a book written 300 years ago? Why, surely with 45 translations, they surely could put out as many copies as one book could put out printed in 1611. I mean, the King James Bible has gone out the tune of 809 million copies. Well, if 45 revisions have undertaken to compete with it and update it, surely 45 copies could have, 45 revisions surely could have equaled that number of copies, couldn't they? Do you mean to tell me a book written in 1611 that's hard to believe and needs to be clarified and updated, see what I just quoted, can outsell 45 updated, clarified revisions? How do you explain that? Here's this from the book publishing company trying to sell him another book and telling you that the King James need to be updated. Why, bless your soul, why didn't they update the new ASV? It's been in the market for more than 7 years. Surely it's archaic. It must be. I mean, they figured the King James Bible got archaic 45 times in 100 years. Surely the ASV has gone archaic, you know, in that length of time. If you had the King James Bible to be updated 45 times in 90 years, then it needed updating every 2 years. Why? Because the English language is archaic after 2 years? Ah, your father's mustache. Now, that's why people don't like Brother Ruckman. We're going to deal with fact till the day you kick the bucket. And we're not interested in your friends or his friends or their friends or where you got your education. The dirty, horrible, terrible fact is, and facts are stubborn things, every rascal that tried to make a buck used the alibi of updating a book that's been updated 45 times in 90 years and still can't be reached. For this archaic King James Bible I've got here in my desk still speaks to me. It doesn't need to be clarified to me. It's updated to me. I've never had to use one translation to update the thing anywhere, and this book I've got in my table is written 300 years ago. Isn't it strange how the book that's written 300 years ago can outsell 45 clear versions that are from better manuscripts? Isn't that a strange thing for you to talk about at the judgment seat of Christ when you find your Savior with his finger down your throat? Continuing the letter to Mr. Seeley from Thomas Nelson Incorporated, quote, "We are very sorry that Dr. Bob Gray was unable to continue in the overview committee. However, Dr. Gray resigned without seeing any sort of a final draft of the work mentioned. He was sent some earlier work, as were 70 or 80 other men, but did not comment on the work and then resigned. As a result of the comments which we solicited from the other men, the book has been continually drawn back closer to the King James." What? I thought your statement of purpose was, quote, "to preserve the original intended purity of the King James Version, and this edition shall not add to, nor take from, nor alter the communication of it." And lo and behold, he says, "Since we started, we've had to be continually drawn back closer to it." Well then, sonny, you must have left it. Well, thank God for Dr. Bob Gray. Bob Gray got out before they shut the barn door. Dr. Gray resigned without seeing any sort. He was sent earlier work but didn't comment on the work and then resigned. Well, praise the Lord for Dr. Bob Gray of Trinity, Jacksonville, Florida. There's a man with some guts. I'll bet you he paid for that. I'll bet you the devil gave him a fit for that. That fellow never gave him a chance to connect his name with the perversion of the Word of God while preserving its original, quote, intended purity. Thank God for Brother Bob Grady. Quote, "The names of the men in the overview committee and the scholars participating in the work are not yet available for publication at this time." You mentioned Dr. Gray. Aren't these boys nice? They mention the man that resigned, but won't mention the men that are still there altering the King James Bible. Why not, Brother Hym? Oh, they're not available. Oh, come, come. You sort of know who your overview committee and your scholars are, don't you, Brother Heon? Of course you do. So you put, quote, they're not available for publication at this time. This is largely due, yes, make it good, son, to a commitment we made to each of them that they would in no way be associated with this work until they had seen the final copy and approved it. At that time, they will indicate their desire to continue as in some part of this project. What a sentence. At that time, they will indicate their desire to continue as in some part of this project. Yours in Christ, C. Franklin Heon, Project Coordinator. Isn't that something? Now, that's the clear-cut stand taken by Thomas Nelson Incorporated against the Holy Bible. They've been publishing good King James Bible for years, and they're not getting enough money, so they're about to alter it in about 3,000 places. But they're not going to alter its communication. They're about to add to it and take from it while preserving its original purity. But since this purity is the intended communication of the meaning of the original translators, which they don't know, they're going to go ahead and change it. In order to do this, they've got a bunch of men, 70 or 80 men, who are afraid to have their names published. And these 70 or 80 men who are afraid to publish their names have signed a statement that they believe that they have a book they've never seen or read, which the Scripture doesn't justify or back up, and this infallible Word of God is without error, and they've never seen it or never read it and don't have it available. They're now going to make the 46th updated version of the King James Bible, and they're going to be left with the priority or the alternatives when they get through of remaining anonymous, like the translators of the New American Standard Version. Because, you know, the criticism of their work will not be the kind of criticism that was leveled against the King James Bible when it came out, contrary to propaganda about effect put out by Bob Jones University and Theodore Epp. But the opposition to their new perversion of the Word of God will come from born-again, soul-winning, Bible-believing fundamentalists who are sick and tired of a bunch of egotistical asses messing with their book. So when these 78 men are through, they'll have the option of keeping their names secret incognito or publishing their names. We'd like to have a list of their names, and when I get it, I'll read them to you and publish it and Xerox copy any of the letters they send. Our work is done in the open, manifesting ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God, and is never done behind closed doors under the table. So much for the stand of Thomas Nelson Incorporated, Nashville, Tennessee, against the Holy Bible, the King James 1611 authorized version.